This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. After you've heard this favorite story, I think you'll agree with an opinion I have long held, that these are two fine actresses indeed. Here are Edna Best and Benita Hume starring in Bing Crosby's favorite story, Mary, Queen of Scots.
It will not do. It is the wrong color.
It matches your gown, Your Majesty.
If a queen tells you that her petticoat is the wrong color, even though she live in a dungeon on the last night of her life, it is the wrong color.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Bring me some cloth to match this.
No.
Promptly. A needle and thread and thimble. It pleases me to sew my own petticoat, since it is the last I shall ever wear. I did not call you. The material is quite satisfactory. I need no help with my sewing.
You have a visitor from the King of Scotland.
From Jamie. Have him enter.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Seaton!
Your Majesty. Your Majesty.
You may rise, my Lord Seaton. My son is well.
In good health. But weeping at his mother's fate.
You lie. My son never wept as a child or as a king. What message does he send me?
His undying love. And the miserable regret that he can do nothing to save you.
Again you lie, my Lord Seaton. Jamie could save me. He could confront the Queen of England with 500,000 men. And dear cousin Elizabeth would be forced to spare me. But Jamie would become the enemy of England. And would forfeit his right to the English throne. Better his mother should die by the headsman's axe, my lord, and he should inherit the throne of his mother's murderer.
Have you pleaded with Elizabeth?
Does one queen plead with another? Oh, stop this weak sniveling, my lord, I command it. I will not be wept over like some soft animal about to be relieved of its misery. Remember me, sir, not as the poor shape you see here stitching on a petticoat. But as Mary, Queen of Scots, Queen Dowager of France, and rightful heir to the throne of England. Remember me, my lord, not as a prisoner in a dungeon awaiting the axe, but as your queen, holding court in full majesty in the halls of Holyrood Castle. My Lord Maitland?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Seaton?
Your Majesty?
We will hold court. Who is here to ask audience?
A religious leader, Master John Knox, a bearded zealot who cries out against you and your rule. I advise you not to see him.
I will see whom I will. Who else?
Lord Darnley, Your Majesty.
He comes at my bidding. Have him wait. No one else?
Yes, Your Majesty. One Bothwell.
Do you refer to the Earl of Bothwell, my Lord Maitland?
Some call him that.
Pray do not cloud your service to me with your petty quarrels. I will see Master John Knox. Send him to me.
Very well, Your Majesty. Master John Knox, your queen will see you.
I come.
Bow, sir. Bow before your queen.
I do not bow to such as sits before me.
No.
I come to you, Mary Stuart, with a message from your people. They do not want you. They do not wish the rule of a Frenchish, pleasure-loving child of Satan.
I am amazed at you, Master Knox, for I have heard that you were a just and honest man, whereas you call me a child of Satan, you know me to be the daughter of James, who was king of Scotland before me. If my manners are French, it is not my fault that I was child-wed to the late king of France. And if I love some pleasures, it is merely that I desire a good life for myself, no more than for my people, of whom you, Master Knox, are one. I pray you, do not condemn me until you have just cause. Be the friend of your queen and her counselor.
They told me you would speak soft words. Temptress!
I merely ask your help in ruling a difficult race, whom you know far better than I. Come now, Master Knox. May we pledge our faith in each other?
Very well. I will be your counselor, but I will also be your conscience, Mary Stuart. And if you fail your people or your God, John Knox will be the first to denounce you.
So be it. Farewell, Master Knox.
My Lord be with you, Queen Mary.
My Lord Maitland, summon the Earl of Bothwell.
The Earl of Bothwell summons himself.
Oh.
Good morrow, good Majesty.
Your Majesty, we will temper this brashness.
Say the word and we'll deal with this popinjay.
Take your hands off me and have the kindness to remove your unpleasant faces from this room.
Your Majesty.
Go, my Lord.
Yes, Your Majesty.
As you wish.
My Bothwell.
Mary.
My bad-tempered, tactless, adorable Bothwell.
It infuriates me to see these weaklings fawning about you, running your kingdom and your life.
You're wrong. By now you should know that no one runs the affairs of Mary Stuart, save Mary Stuart.
And no one runs the affairs of Bothwell, save Bothwell.
Oh?
And his queen.
Better.
Mary, how much longer must we keep up this ruse, this play-acting? How many months now has my heart laid siege to your throne room? Don't you know that I love you? And you love me. You love me fully as much as I love you.
I love you.
Then why this eternal delay? Or would you forswear love and be a withered-up old maid like your cousin in London?
I will never be like Elizabeth. She rules by steel and ice. I prefer to rule by warmth and...
And by Bothwell.
We shall see. There are pressing matters of state, my lord.
I am leaving.
Love me, Mary.
The woman in me loves you and would marry you in a moment. But the queen is undecided.
Be first a woman.
God be with you. My Bothwell. Seaton, Maitland?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Majesty.
Would you summon Lord Darnley?
I shall call him, Your Majesty.
Seaton.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Will the world remember me as a queen of Scotland or as the wife of my husband?
The queen will live, Your Majesty, long after the woman has passed away.
Remember when you told me that, my Lord Seaton, those many years ago?
Yes, I remember.
I acted on your advice, Seaton. If I had followed my heart instead, I might never have needed a petticoat this color. Ah, there. The hem is finished. I do not blame you, my lord. I thought of Scotland first, myself second. I knew that Bothwell, however much I might love him, was too fiery to rule a Scotland not at war. And so...
Darnley?
Yes, I married Darnley. The high-born oaf. The boor, the contemptible fop, I chose him. Darnley instead of Bothwell, a cur instead of a man.
Your Majesty, you speak of the father of Scotland's king.
Do I? I also speak of my husband. I could not remain married to Lord Darnley. After Jamie was born, my son, with Scotland in his right hand and England in his left, I knew that I must get free of Darnley.
I beg you, Your Majesty, do not tell me things which you may regret later.
Oh, How much later can I regret anything, my Lord Seaton? I think the headsman will cut short my regrets with tomorrow's sunrise. No, I have no regrets about Darnley. I know only that I prayed to heaven for deliverance from his hateful company, and I know that my prayer was answered. Bothwell.
Your Majesty.
Why do you come to me at this time of night?
You're free.
Free?
Darnley.
Dead?
Twice dead. Hands about his throat and gunpowder beneath his bed.
Who did this?
A man who could not bear to see the woman he loved tortured by a hopeless marriage to a prince of fools. You're free again to marry the man of your choice.
Bothwell.
Ask your heart, my queen. Trust your love, Mary. Love and be loved. And be happy.
Oh, yes.
You will marry me.
Yes, Bothwell. Yes, yes, yes.
A kiss. A kiss to seal the bargain.
With all my heart.
Shall I return later?
Master Knox.
What do you want here?
I come with news. But perhaps it has preceded me.
What news, Master Knox?
Is the Earl of Bothwell ignorant of what happened less than an hour past at Kirkafield? That Darnley was strangled and his body blown asunder?
How shocking.
Shocking indeed. You know none of these things, my Lord Bothwell. That is not the mud of Kirkafield on your boots.
The Earl of Bothwell has been with me the entire evening.
Indeed?
And furthermore, Master Knox, now that the Queen is widowed, she intends to take a new husband.
I shall marry Bothwell.
You are a man of religious works, Master Knox. We will let you marry us, if you will.
I would sooner be hanged from High Dumfries Hill than wed this woman to a murderer.
Hold your tongue, John Knox. I am accountable to no one for my deeds.
I told you once, Mary Stuart, that I would not denounce you without cause. But here is cause. Your true husband, who lived at sundown, is now but broken clay at Kirkafield. Here is the man who did the deed. See, he does not deny it. You are to run to his arms and embrace him as your husband.
I love him.
Love! All Scotland will retch at your love. Marry this man and you will be hounded out of the country. Marry this man and every decent human being north of Solway Firth will rise up against you. Marry this man, Mary Stuart, and you will lose your throne.
We're ready for Act Two of this week's favorite story, chosen by one of the world's favorite personalities, Mr. Bing Crosby, with Benita Hume as Queen Elizabeth and Edna Best as Mary, Queen of Scots. In the tower of an English castle, Mary Stuart sits in the half-light, sewing on a petticoat. Yesterday, the throne of Scotland and France. Tomorrow, the headsman. In the shadows opposite her stands the man named Seaton, listening to the words of the woman who was his queen.
Do you think it's strange, Seaton, that a queen should sew her own petticoat? This is a very special petticoat. It is almost done.
Yes, Your Majesty.
You were at my wedding, Seaton. You saw me married to the Earl of Bothwell.
An evil day.
You will not judge me, sir. I shall be judged soon after sunrise. Well, the prophecy of Master Knox came true, and my husband and I were forced to flee from Scotland. I slept on the ground. But I was with him, with Bothwell. I think a woman remembers best the first time she sees a man she loves, and the last time. This was the last time. Fog seemed to be everywhere, a blanket of it stretching across Scotland and south to England. It was a cold fog, but I was warm because he was there. One more day and we would find refuge with our cousin in England. Refuge. From a giant prison called Scotland to a tiny prison called Shrewsbury. It was very silent. He kissed me.
Mary, try to sleep.
Tomorrow we will travel a few short miles, and I will be an alien in an alien land.
You will be a queen wherever you go.
Oh, my Bothwell. How rare it is for a queen to have a husband she loves.
Listen.
Who are they?
The Scottish lords, no doubt. Maitland and the rest.
I will not see them.
We may have no choice.
Hold there! Here's our quarry. Your Majesty.
Maitland, I am displeased. I did not wish to be followed.
I came to rescue the Queen of Scotland from a brigand.
This is my husband.
The man who stands beside you, Your Majesty, is your husband's murderer.
Your insults grow tiresome, Maitland. I shall require you to answer for
me. May I remind you, my Lord Bothwell, that 18,000 men wait within sound of my voice?
Then send forth your bravest fighter, Maitland. I will match him in combat. Let this be a fair fight. One against one. If I win, I am free to go with Her Majesty, my wife. If I lose, you may name your own terms.
I forbid it.
No need, Your Majesty. We do not match terms with men such as Bothwell.
You are speaking, my Lord Maitland, to the Queen of Scotland, your queen, and to the man your queen loves. Must I remind you to speak with respect?
Your Majesty, beyond that hill lies England. The moment you step foot across the border, you abandon your country and your rights to the throne.
I go to England on a mission of state, my Lord Maitland. The throne of Scotland is in need of an ally. My cousin Elizabeth will give me aid in this moment of need.
Your cousin Elizabeth is your enemy. She's the enemy of Scotland.
She is my own blood.
Your very existence threatens and endangers Elizabeth's throne. Do you look for charity from her? Generosity, perhaps?
And if I remain here, my lord, what then?
You will be asked to abdicate.
I will not abdicate. I am Queen of Scotland. What must the queen do, Maitland, to get a night's sleep now and a free passage to travel where she likes?
If you're determined, Your Majesty, to proceed to England, we'll not stop you. But we will not permit this man to go with you. He is our prisoner.
No.
Mary. Do as they say. We are helpless.
I will not go without you.
In which case, Your Majesty, we will regretfully have to consider you our prisoner as well.
It will be a few short days. Elizabeth is a woman, too. She will understand. I will return with help.
Yes, Mary.
My Lord Maitland, I am your prisoner.
Bothwell, I love you. For the months that we have had together, I would ransom 100 kingdoms. Goodbye, my love. You see, Seaton, how neatly I sew my petticoat, stitch by stitch. Do you suppose she could sew such a petticoat? Elizabeth? Elizabeth. The politics of all Europe have turned on the hinges of my prison door. Do you know how she came here? My cousin. I was her prisoner. Oh, but I tell you, I have won. We came face to face. The Queen of England and the Queen of Scotland.
My dear cousin.
Elizabeth.
Yes.
Welcome, cousin, to this cell that you have fashioned for me.
Don't be bitter, Mary. I come to offer my hand in friendship. Won't you take it?
Why, yes.
You're lovely, as they said you were.
Your words are finer than your accommodations. Why am I being kept here?
It is not my personal wish.
Then open the iron doors. Let me out. I would like to get one look at this English sky about which your poets write so eloquently. You need only raise a finger and I am free.
It is not so easy. You are beautiful, and men will follow you. Men will die for you.
Of course, I am a queen.
This is a tight little isle, my cousin. Two queens are one too many.
And so you keep me here, imprisoned because you are afraid of me.
Oh, come now, cousin. Let us forget old suspicions. I come on a mission of goodwill to set you free. If you will listen to reason.
If. That one word echoes strangely around this cold room. What are your terms?
My privy councillors will bring a parchment. Sign it, and you will be free.
And what is this parchment?
A simple agreement. Abdication from the throne of Scotland. And renunciation of all rights by yourself and your son to the throne of England.
A simple agreement. Only a queen, a childless queen like you, Elizabeth, could offer such terms. And that will set me free. Of what will my freedom consist?
You may stay in my court. You may lead a full life here in England.
And not go back to Bothwell.
No.
Remember, cousin, I am more than a queen. I am a woman, too, and I love as a woman should love.
My terms go so far, no farther. You would not be permitted to return to Scotland.
That is proof that you are afraid of me. You are afraid of Bothwell and me together. We would be strong. We would be a sword hanging over your precious throne.
Your own people have turned on you.
With good, substantial help from England, Your Majesty. And if I don't sign, cousin?
If you don't sign, then...
You don't have to say it. I can see it in the coldness of your eyes. I will have an appointment with a gentleman in a high collar whose aim is surprisingly accurate. They told me about you. When I was very young, I heard about Elizabeth, Queen of England, who would go to any lengths to protect her throne, to keep that coronet secure. I didn't believe them then. Maliciousness and gossip were the vogue. But now I know it's true.
You're very young, Mary. The years teach you it's wiser to be a queen first and a woman second.
Yes. They also told me once of you and Lord Essex, how you might have known a man's love and how you threw it away because it didn't fit in with your plans and your ambitions.
How little you know of being a queen.
I know you, Elizabeth.
Nobody knows Elizabeth except herself.
You lost a chance for love.
I held a throne.
Because you lost your love, you'd see me lose mine, too.
Silence! I do not like to raise my voice to you, cousin. I offer you your freedom, Mary. I offer you your life.
I am overwhelmed by your generosity, my dear, dear cousin. But take your freedom. I don't need it. Don't you see? I've had it already. Now, and a million years from now, I will be freer than you.
You don't know what you're saying.
You've made a prison out of your life. But I've loved Elizabeth, and I have lived 1,000 years for every moment. I have a child. And his children and children's children will drink in the sunshine when all you stand for is dust.
You're writing your own death sentence.
Oh, no. My son will be your heir. I will live in him. My son, my blood, my flesh will be your heir. Keep me in prison. Bring on your headsman. I'm still a queen, my cousin, for I am first of all a woman. The last stitch, the very last stitch in my petticoat.
Your Majesty, there is still time. I will cross the border and try to raise an army.
No, Seton, there is not time. But your queen thanks you.
You cannot die like this, Your Majesty.
Tomorrow, when I die, 10,000 ships will sail from Spain. An entire armada will remind Elizabeth that I am the winner. You see this petticoat, red. Red so that it will not show the blood. The people of England will not see the blood of the Queen of Scotland. Remember, she is the mother of their next king.
You've been listening to Bing Crosby's favorite story, Mary, Queen of Scots. Two distinguished British actresses were our stars. Edna Best was Mary, and Benita Hume was Elizabeth. Our thanks to all the members of the cast, to Claude Sweeten, who composed and conducted the music, and to Lawrence and Lee, who wrote and directed. Incidentally, this is all documented history, including the fact that Queen Mary sewed her own red petticoat. It's been a real pleasure for the entire company assembled here to bring you Mary, Queen of Scots, as Bing's favorite story. At one time or another, each of us dreams of growing young again. Remember the old Spanish explorer who spent all his life wandering through the Everglades of Florida, looking for the fountain of youth? Well, next week on Favorite Story, you're going to hear what might happen if someone discovered a fountain of youth. It's Nathaniel Hawthorne's absorbing tale of Dr. Heidegger's experiment. And it will leave you wondering whether you would really want to be young again. It's a memorable story with a distinguished cast. Next week at Favorite Story Time. We hope you'll be listening.